Jam! Hello and welcome to the Big 450. That's a thing, right?
Ooh, I feel like we should have streamers up in here.
I'm a streamer now.
Like confetti.
I have no smart-ass comment for that one.
No, I didn't think you did.
Yeah. This, like I said, this is the Big Episode 450 of the Mana Pool. And, yeah, sorry we didn't record last week, but had we recorded Episode 450 last week, it would have been a rush job. Oh god, what do we talk about now? Because, Mike's work decided that it hated Mike.
And yeah, so I was Mike there until like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and so Mike could not record with us. And rather than either try to do this without Mike, which is not feasible, or come up with something last minute to do without him, we just said, we'll take the night off. So sorry about that, but it's well worth the wait. But before we get to that, I'm Chewy. Hi, I'm the lead dork. And I'm also the angel.
Huh? I'm Brian. I'm the lead rambler and not moral compass of the group. I am the tangent master, which is unfortunate because today I'm the GM or game master, and today of all days I need to keep them straight. So when the guy that's in charge of keeping them straight is the guy that's also in charge of, hey, look over there. Yeah, we'll see how well that works.
Is it bad that our lawyer is the not moral compass of the group?
It's only that we have another one, so it's not really my specialty.
Oh, okay.
I'm Mike. I'm the rules guy and the game lore guy. And tonight I'm also the soldier.
And I am Dirk, the self-proclaimed greenest man alive. And I guess temporarily not the moral compass of the group. And I am the monk.
That's not fair. I don't have a class. I have no class.
You are in fact classless. Something we knew a long time ago, but.
No job, have an angel mooching off of the rest of us.
Don't mess with me, buddy. I got a sword now. So, yes, in case you can't tell, we are finally coming back to Brian's homebrew Magic RPG. After much and constant and repeated requests.
Over and over again. It's not that we didn't want to. There's just always something else in the land of never-ending previews. Not to mention we feel like we do have to space these out just a little bit because there are other things we want to do. We don't want to become just that podcast that just does the RPG all the time.
Previews and RPG, yeah.
Yeah. We got to do some mythical subscriptions, some Mad Libs, little touch of Dirk's Creature Corner, you know.
Keep it real. Hey, by the way, I need a black instant.
Oh dear.
Dark Ritual was the first one that came to mind.
Okay then. So that's oddly fitting because it's a one word Mad Lib because since Chris Lansdale isn't here. Hi. If you're Chris Lansdale and listening to this, we're very sorry that we're doing this Dark Ritual without you. There, that was our Mad Lib. Anyway, so, Brian has spent some time making a few alterations here and there, so I'm just gonna let him take over now. So, what are we doing, Brian? Cause we don't know, we're lost without you.
Right. So for those that haven't listened to any of these episodes yet, I would say stop what you're doing, go back and listen to the others. We've only done a couple of them so far. We do one every 3 months or so, if that. But for those that have been following and listened to my advice and either stopped and went back or have been listening this whole time, good for you. You're not cheating. The basic structure is the same. And it's still a little free form. I want these guys to have freedom to basically wander around and be jackasses or basically do what they want. There's a story involved, but this is still kind of like a sandbox thing where they can run around a little bit.
Why do I feel like when he says run around and be jackasses, he's talking specifically to my character?
Okay, which one was getting drunk at the bar last time? Actually, it was two of you.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's talking to you as a person and me as a character.
A little bit. Actually, you know, Mike has a little bit. But before I get completely off track, some of the feedback that has come back was that we were being, and I specifically was being a little too caught up in the minutiae. You know, do they know where they're going in a town, which, you know, it makes sense in some cases, but isn't something where I have to have them roll for everything. I get that. That actually was kind of improvised and I was unnecessary at the time. Another thing that came up was, you know, okay, we don't need to be focusing so much on when's the last time they ate? How much food do they have? You know, and like thinking about that sort of thing constantly. So I'm going to still keep track of what they have because I want it to be something. I want it to be an element of the game, but we are assuming as they go around and do other things that they are taking the time to eat. It was mentioned in the odds and ends before the show. Yes, they're taking care of other business too. They don't have to, you know, where's the nearest restroom? Is it appropriate for angels or for non-angels? All of that is happening, but if it's been days and they have run out of food, even assuming they're eating, you know, one meal a day, then that's going to be something they need to address, but I will keep track of that. We've only really had one instance of combat so far, and it was Mike disintegrating a merfolk's face with his fist. but there was that in and of itself raised some questions about he didn't realize – he thought he was safe because I had laid out rules for combat, and then next thing you know – he didn't realize he was in that situation. So I've gone back, cleaned up some of those rules, and we'll get more into that if and when it comes up. But I have created a whole subsection for you know, there are going to be situations where a character may not know that they're about to be attacked because you don't always get a big red, you know, what's that solid snake sound, the ring sound, exclamation mark over your head. Chewie, you should go back and insert that right there if you can.
Let me get right on that.
yeah, I know. See, I'm going to be listening to this later and go, ha, he did it.
I'm thinking back to what you're talking about and I'm pretty sure that I did understand combat was starting, but I started joking around just to screw with you.
Okay. So well,
that might've given the wrong impression,
but later you did say that, you know, this is, I did think you raised at least a fair point. So, now I'm not always going to say, okay, this is exactly what's happening, but I've written out rules for myself. I have whole subsections on, you know, if you are walking into an area and they're hostile, if you're walking into an area and they're neutral, or if they become hostile, things like that. And nothing's to say that just because the story doesn't want Mike to go and disintegrate somebody else's face that's not an enemy, his character can still do that. So I have rules for that as well. It may end in Mike in having a very bad time. But you know, again, this is kind of a sandbox. Something that people have talked about, especially after the first episode that was very, very, very linear because it was starting the whole thing, arguably, was, you know, don't want to make it feel like the whole thing's on the rails. And I never intended for it to be. So, I have a skeleton here. I know where the story is ending. I have a map there and plot points and more story than we're going to get to today. But if they decide to take away there that I hadn't originally thought of, I think that's great. So don't want to take too much time going into all that, but I just want to say if you're hearing these and you're like, wait a minute, that's not how that worked in the past. That's fine. As always, the usual disclaimer, this is still very like pre-alpha version of this. I'm always working on it, so things can change. But with that, do you guys remember story-wise what had happened last time that we played? Or do you need me to give you a brief refresher on that as well?
I think a brief refresher would do us and any listeners the best.
So after Mike's Kareem's merfolk experience, you enter the city of Edda, which is a city on...
That'd be a good name for a band. Kareem's Merfolk Experience, or a ride at an amusement park. Sorry, keep going.
No, it's okay. I'm turning it over in my head. I'm like, I'm getting ready to go to Disney World, so we have to think about, okay, what rides is Sam tall enough to do? And I'm like, would that be 44 inches or 46 inches tall?
I bet she could ride Kareem's Merfolk Experience, but I bet she wouldn't want to.
I don't think most people would. Anyway, so you go into town. It's Edda is a city on an island, and the main feature. Well, first these guys went to a weapon store and they loaded up and they wheeled and they dealed, and it was very impressive. And the angel ended up with a claymore, which is a heavy type sword. So that's going to activate some of her things like heavy weapons, her heavy weapons bonus. And she was just happy to have a sword. Kareem.
These details aren't actually important.
Okay. You don't want.
Wait. Okay. I have a sword.
They aren't story points. Summarize the story points.
Hey, I have a sword, and that is the most important thing.
He did get a sword. Other people got things. You went to the library. You were told to look for a man, or I think he was implied to be a man, but the elemental, Aerodeth. You talked to the elemental for a while. He kind of it, she, they. It's an elemental, and I don't know the appropriate term, they kind of gave some vague answers, but you were told that a lot of the planeswalkers that came from there continued on to a large settlement to the east. You also ran into, did I tell you her name? I don't know if I told you her name. You ran into a fancy lady, that was leaving Aerodeth's office as you got there, and she kind of looked you guys over and left. And then after being in the library for a while, you found some of the volumes that were left by other planeswalkers and read them over. And again, one of them mentioned, being the property of a planeswalker named, lots of notes here, Rafe, who was a king and again had some residence over in the east. And then after learning all this, you left and said, ooh, what can we do to have some fun? And a drunk Vidalkin pointed you toward the musty tome, where you went and had a good time. And I think, Kareem ordered the Flaming Joe, and the angel hit on the waitress, who seemed very appreciative of the attention. And then she pointed you toward the open door in where you kind of stumbled in. And I think I told you that it was run by a person named Fry, F-R-Y. I was looking at my notes wrong. It's Frey, F-R-E-Y. Not a big deal, but you kind of passed out and that's where you are. So you wake up the next morning, and luckily enough, the alcohol here seems to have some kind of mild enchantment on it where you don't really have a hangover. So good job.
Awesome.
Is that thorough enough for you guys? I skipped over some of the stuff, but I'm hoping that if it seemed like, ooh, you know, red alert, that you wrote it down.
Wrote it down.
Or might remember it if it sounds familiar.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me. I found my dice.
All right. Great. So you wake up, you're in the room at the open door. What do you want to do next?
Let's see. Since it's a new day, do we have an opportunity to try to make a mana bond with the city?
You do. And that was something I think everybody was screaming. Not everybody, but a couple people were like, hey, they didn't do that last time. So
last time it was the same day, so we couldn't have.
You do have the chance to do that.
Dude, we should, at some point, we should swing by the library and try to get a bond with that.
Well, I'm counting the whole city as
never mind
one land. So you can do it from your hotel room, I guess. The whole thing is basically one big floating island, as islands tend to float. So if you want to try that, you can try that at any time. So
I'd like to try it this time.
Okay. All right.
So wake up, yawn, stretch, try to make a mana bond.
Yeah, what do you do in the morning, man? Come on. All right. None of you have any bonds with islands, so this means it's going to be a little trickier for you. So I need each character to roll a d12. And I need to roll something as well for each of you. 12? So just tell me who's going to go first.
Oh, here's a 12.
I'll get mine first.
Okay, fine then.
Okay.
So, I got a, dang it, fell on the floor. I got a 8.
Good job.
That's pretty good.
You've met the conditions, so you can add to your mana source, Edda, E-D-D-A. Do you want to know what it does, or should we just get through everybody else first?
Just go through everyone else first.
Okay. We'll all right. Who's gonna roll a D12?
I got it.
All right, Chewy.
Whoa! I think I just swore. Hang on, let me stop the recording.
Yeah, I didn't hear.
Right. Okay, that'll be easier to find later. I rolled an 11. Do I get like 3 bonds? Because that'd be hot.
No. Sorry, you're not gonna get it this time.
With an 11?
Nope.
Dang it, man.
Every time, and I'm keeping it ambiguous for a reason, so you can't necessarily forecast it. Every time you try and form a mana bond with a different land, that land has different rules. So, Kareem has one. The angel does not, at least for today. If you stick around for a day, you can try again. Or you can try it somewhere else tomorrow. And then Alaric.
All right. Let's give this a shot. Do it again. It rolled on carpet, so it doesn't roll flat. 9.
Alaric does not either. So it's tough for you guys to do it. With an island, it gets a lot easier. Kareem, you now can summon mana from Edda.
Mm-hmm.
Edda counts as an island, so we can add a blue mana. And when you call it, basically when you add it to your field, the next spell you cast costs 1 generic mana less to cast.
Woot. That's interesting.
One shot kind of thing. So
your face is interesting.
And then we'll get into combat again if it comes up, but just as a brief refresher, it basically works the same where once you can take an action in combat, you can call a land and you can just pick one of the ones in your resources. You're assumed to start with none ready. And then you can still take another action that turn, but if you choose to attack the same turn you call a land, your power is reduced by half rounded up. So, all right.
Oh, so you got to call, you got to spend actions calling mana sources during combat?
Exactly. But you can still, the turn you take to, you can either do some other action or call a mana source and perform an action. It's the only action that you can do on top of something else. Because you should be building mana. But if you choose to do that, the only cost is that it will also cut your power in half for that turn. Got it?
Now I do.
All right. Great.
I got it enough to where when you tell me when I ask when it's relevant, I'll get it then.
Yes. that is the point. So you all wake up, you stretch, you go to the can or something, and hopefully not while you're on the can. You try and form a mana bond. Only Kareem does it. Good job. What's next for our brave heroes?
All right. So we got all that good research about planeswalkers going to the east and Rafe, who was a king in the east of some sort. So I say we go with the leads and see if the other planeswalkers who are over there can help us figure out why we can't leave. Or maybe we'll find out that they can't leave either. Maybe they're working on the problem right now.
I mean, sure. As much as I would like to, go back and see the waitress at the, what was the name of that place we were at last night?
Musty Tome.
Musty Tome, yeah. Then that's just not a good decision, just for anybody involved.
Okay, so you guys getting ready to leave?
Yes.
Sure.
That's okay. What it sounds like, yeah.
Well, it's your decision. Like right. I said, it's up to you. Okay. All right. You're leaving the open door. You are directed that you want to head, you say you want to head to the east, right? The island city has 2 entrances. The one that you came in at, which was on the western side of the island, is a little more grandiose. It's meant for, it's basically the main avenue. It's what they want you to see coming in. But you are told that there's more of a kind of almost like a service bridge over to the east. So you start heading in that direction. You pass by the quote unquote, I guess what you call the industrial district where you see some power plants or things that look like power plants. One or two designs look distinctly Izzet based. And then you get to the service bridge and you go ahead and cross and you find yourself, once you're over, back in the forest that covers most of Trevester. If you want to go ahead and start trekking over to the east?
Yes. Onwards and forwards and eastwards.
Onwards and forwards and eastwards and whatnot, right? Okay. Right. All right. So as this works basically the same way, because the forest has a way of befuddling people, you need to make a die roll to see which way you're going to go and see what happens when you get there. You do notice that the forest over on the eastern part of Edda is noticeably thinner than it was over on the western side. So trekking will be a little easier, but as always, you need to designate who's going to be leading your merry band of adventurers, and we'll do a quick check for a trekking roll. So,
pretty sure I still have the best trekking score at 2. So
yeah, you're the only one with a trekking score.
Okay,
so,
got it.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so you attempt to move over eastward and onward.
Yeah, let's see what the forest does to us. What die do I roll for this?
I roll for you. Over
oh,
here.
That's right.
Just okay, but you are highly successful. You start moving to the east. Technically, I guess I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you you're successful. Well, congratulations again, because the forest is less populated. So you're moving over here, and then I need to determine what exactly you're up for when you move into this space. So
now Chewie inserts the Metal Gear Vert noise.
Except I didn't, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Looks like, oh, you come across a natural spring in the middle of the forest. There's no creatures that you see around. Nothing seems to be threatening you or trying to kill you at the moment because, you know, you guys have actually had it much more peaceful than I thought you would at this point in the game, but that's okay. You can take a moment to refill your water skin and kind of chill out if you want. Kind of
gain a life. Back.
I mean, you know, what is life if you're all caught up in battles and fighting and whatnot, right? So, but I'm assuming
that I should take a moment to fly up and look around.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's useful.
Okay. I believe last time we actually
Thanks,
gave
Green.
You. I believe last time we actually gave
being
you.
Being sincere.
He's got his sincere voice on. You can tell. Last time we actually gave you a bonus to your flying because you were using it to pretty good effect.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just need you to roll a d6 and I'll add your score and I'll tell you what you can see.
This one is 6. Ha! Whoa! I rolled a 2.
You roll a 2?
Okay.
A 2. Well, with your bonus, you are able to see slightly above the tree line. So, and you look around and you can see Edda directly behind you. You've marched for a couple hours. And when you look directly what you seem to be eastward in the direction you were going before, you can see some expanse of forest and slightly northern, you see what appears to be a large structure, possibly a castle or a fortification. It looks to be almost a day's march ahead of you. And then just to the south at the horizon, you appear what appears to be a very large, I guess you could call it a tree as far as you can tell, but it's so far away you have a hard time making it out.
Hmm. And how far away does that appear to be?
Or can probably I not tell? You can't quite tell, but it appears to be over a day's walk, as far as you can tell.
But it's really huge.
The fortification is much closer, and you can probably get there in another couple hours. The large, again, what appears to be a tree is so far away you can just kind of barely see it at the horizon.
Okay. Well, then I will drop back down and explain that to you guys so you also know.
Okay, so it sounds like we're moving in the right direction at least.
Yeah, we should.
You are, in fact, moving in the right direction this time.
We should keep that, I don't know what, tree-looking thing in mind, though, because clearly it's a thing.
It is, in fact, a thing.
I mean, I don't think we should change direction or anything, just keep going this way, but remember that might be important later.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You want to keep moving?
Yes.
Okay. Dirk, you doing all right?
Yep.
Okay. Just making sure. I want to make sure you don't get drowned out by these two. All right. So let's see here. What was that?
I was drowning Dirk.
That was a Merlock, though.
Oh, jeez.
No, I was drowning Dirk.
Oh.
Although, that apparently, drowning Dirk sounds like a Merlock. Do they have Merlocks on this plane? Never mind.
Okay, so no, they don't. Sorry. I've rolled, this time it was a little dicier for Mike, but he did find his way through. It looks like he got a little lost at one point, but congratulations. So let's see, you now end up, hold on.
Threw it on the ground.
Okay, you find yourself, as you move into a clearing, you notice that there appears to be some marks on some of the trees due to some large tusks. And as you get closer, you can tell it's a Cerrodon mating ground. And you can see at least one bull Cerrodon and three Cerrodon yearlings. So give me one second here. Let me see what they're up to at the moment. I need a D6. Here's a D6. Okay. I need to go to this document.
Hey, Kareem.
Yeah.
What the hell are those?
That appears to be a Cerrodon.
Oh. Are they usually friendly?
No, they're usually pretty ornery.
Great.
Mm-hmm. And in fact...
Alaric, can you punch a Cerrodon?
Maybe.
Okay, just checking.
Well, for the second time this game,
lost your dice.
You've come across them sleeping. I guess just like those gorillas that you found earlier, your rolls are just so good. They're huddled together. I guess at this point, it's about midday. It's the heat of the day. Let's say that. And most large animals actually do sleep in the middle of the day. That's what we're going to say. Thank you, die roll. So, so they're actually curled up together. The giant, Cerrodon is pretty hulking, and the three, yearlings are kind of curled up around it. You can choose if you want to directly engage these fearsome beasts, or you can try and sneak around them or take other actions. As long as we can roll for stealth if you want, as long as your stealth rolls are not abysmal, you won't be waking them up. Also, I wouldn't recommend going around smashing pots and pans, but you know, tell me what you guys
are planning on doing.
Tell me what you guys want to do.
Will you put that pan back in your pack?
Sneak.
Yeah. Sneak. I mean, I don't really want to have to force our poor monk to punch a sleeping Cerrodon, so.
That would be bad.
I also don't want a sleeping Cerrodon to no longer be sleeping and run at us so that he is forced to punch them, so yeah, let's just not.
Okay. None of you have a bonus for sneaking, but each one of you roll a d6.
I have stealth 2. Does that not count as a bonus?
Wait, do you have stealth 2? Okay. Yeah. The problem is I'm looking at everything all at once, which means I'm seeing nothing.
I have to find a better place to roll.
Okay, so, I mean, you can roll, but with your bonus, you're just going to automatically get passed. So,
okay.
Roll if you feel like you want to roll a die.
I got a 5.
I got a 5. I got a 2.
Uh-oh. Oh, Dirk. Okay.
Did I not tell you to put the pans back?
Okay. So Kareem is able to sneak past them very easily. The angel, I guess, hovers just enough so that, you know, you don't even hear the sound of her feet on the ground. Kareem gets a little too close to
Alaric.
Alaric gets a little too close to them, trips, and almost lands on one, but manages to catch himself at the last moment and works himself away around to the other side of the clearing. Good job.
Just didn't see the route.
All right, once we're well out of earshot, I'm going to slap Alaric in the back of the head and be like, what did I tell you? Ooh, you're lucky that I don't pull out my sword.
y'all made it through okay. Managed to not fight them, which honestly is probably a pretty good idea. Any other action you want to take while you're in the clearing? They're still snoring away. Or do you just want to move to the next space?
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Yeah, just move on. The more time we spend around here, the more we're likely to screw up.
The worse things get.
To get gored by Ceridons.
Okay. All right, so you're able to move into...
That would be a good name for a band.
Mauled by Ceridons?
No, gored by Ceridons. Although mauled, mauled is a little too screamy metal.
It's a little, yeah. Hey, where'd my D12 go? I need somebody to roll a D12 for me. Somebody that's trustworthy and doesn't want to die. So.
Probably Dirk. Not me, apparently.
Oh. All right, Mike, that's you then. I am not trustworthy and Dirk wants to die.
All right. 8.
Okay. All right. You, find yourself at the southern end of, a large gate. You can now see the structure that the angel was talking about before. It appears to be a large wall around some sort of town. The wall is high enough that you can't really see too far over it. I'm trying to pull up my notes on this area. Bear with me for just one second. Okay, you can tell that it's a fairly imposing wall. It appears to rise over 3 stories tall and goes a good ways, as far as you can see, down directly in front of you, heading toward the east, and then curves, as you can see, due north. So it looks like you're kind of at a corner where you are, and there's not an entrance as far as you can see right here, but as you look a little further eastward, you can start to see a large gate in the distance. You don't see anyone else milling around. There doesn't appear to be anything dangerous. And in fact, you happen to see another one of those wonderful springs we talked about before. So, you know, feel free to take a leak and do what you got to do.
Spring.
Otherwise, there's nothing else that you can really see here.
All right. So like we don't see any watchmen on the walls or anything like that?
Not as far as you can tell. You can see that the walls appear to be incredibly solid. You don't see any portholes. Porthole, that's wow, shit. You don't see any like arrow nooks or anything like that. It's impossible. It's very difficult for you to see the top of it simply because it is so high. You do see a couple banners waving here and there. The banner appears to bear an emblem of a green field, and on the green field appears to be some sort of bird talon in black, stretched with its a claw with its talons stretched out.
Okay.
But you don't see anyone.
All right.
Well, that's a pretty cool standard there. Talking about the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I wonder if they're friendly. And if they're not, I wonder if they would eat my sword.
Let's go knock on the gate and find out.
Well,
I suppose flying up to peek over is probably not the best idea.
Oh, I don't know. People seem to like you.
You can try
it. Yeah, but you don't build a wall like this and expect someone, even someone as glorious as myself, to just sort of bounce over, you know?
Well, a wall like this is meant to keep, you know, jerks like me out.
Yeah, and I'm with you, so.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, I can try to fly up and see what I can see if you guys think it's a good idea. I'm not sold on it though. What do you think?
I don't know. If you're not comfortable with it, then I'm not going to bother you. We'll just go in through the gate.
That's good, because if you bother me, sword.
You get to eat the sword. Sword.
Now,
so should we knock on the gate?
Well, before we go any further, I need to ask a technical question here, about Discord. We're getting up to a part where one or two of you might realize something that the others may not know, and I want to let that person know what's going on first. How do I open a private chat in Discord? Do I just click on that person's name?
Where it says friends on the upper left.
Yes.
If you click on that, it will show you everyone, and then you can double-click on someone from there, and it'll open a private window with them.
Boom.
Like over on the right where it has the members list, if you right-click, the context menu has message as a option.
Oh, hey, look at that. I didn't
see that before.
I didn't.
So if I go back here, so I'm on the right under members.
Yeah, if you right click on the person's name.
There we go. Okay, boom. Okay. I didn't want to slow down the game too much later when that was really, really important. So, all right, so you're heading to the east, is that correct? Because it is technically looking at my map what I would normally consider to be a space away, but because I mean, you're out of the woods, you're not going to fail unless you like face plant. So, you head towards the door. As you're walking, you think you see at least one figure of a bird or an angel or something flying overhead, observing your progress. You get to the door, and it's a very sturdy door. It has a arch. It's in the shape of an arch, and it appears to be about 10 feet tall and solid wood. The door is currently closed, and there is what looks to be a human soldier waiting in front of it. He stops you and says, "What business do you have in the castle town of Tyr?" T-Y-R.
Oh!
Oh, good.
This is Tyr. We've been meaning to come here. Haven't we?
Yes.
I have it in my notes. I just didn't write down what it was.
Yes, we have. Wasn't that the place where King Rafe was from? Or yes. King Over?
Rafe, King of Tyr.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. There you go. Sweet. So do we tell this guy that we were directed here by, Aradeth? Was that his name?
Ask that we seek an audience with Wraith. We don't have to know where we have the book.
So you're asking for an audience with King Wraith, is that correct?
Well, I mean, first I was just trying to figure out what we tell this guy.
Sure, that's why I'm asking what you want to tell him. I'm giving you guys times.
We're like the silly cartoon where he's like, "What is your business here?" And we go, "Excuse us," and we huddle up and like, "Okay, now what?"
Well, and you know, as the game goes, I'm giving you guys time to do this. But if you take long enough, he will go, "What are they doing over there?" So that's why I'm asking when you're basically right. Like I'm asking, what is your move essentially? So
yeah,
just
ready, break, and await.
I don't know. I kind of like. I want to see how he'll respond to the direct approach. You know, we're here to seek an audience with King Rafe.
I mean, yeah. I was just making sure that we had it all. That was what we were doing, but I think you're probably right.
All right.
That's what we shall do.
All right. Hello, good sir. We are here to seek an audience with King Rafe.
At the mention of the name Rafe, the soldier looks a little startled. He seems to think to himself for a minute and then he says, "Welcome to Tyr, good sirs and ma'am. We understand that travel in this area is very difficult and that news travels very slowly. Unfortunately, I need to tell you that you are about 60 years too late. Rafe passed away a good time ago. Our king now is his great-grandson, Artosis."
You know, I hate it when that happens.
You know, I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Did I say 60? I meant 80. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't do generations very well.
That's fine.
Okay, huddle up. Now what?
It's like, well, we were here, you know, we were coming here because we thought he might be able to help us, that he might have special knowledge to help us with our problem. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's something that gets passed down through the generations. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a shot. In four generations, surely anybody who was, surely if someone was going to be corrupt, it would be the next one, and then they're back good again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how that works, right?
Yeah.
Or it could be one that skips a generation. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. But either way, I mean, at four, it's probably safe, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure, we'll see him.
Yeah, so yeah. Should we tell this guy that...
I mean, the thing is, we had heard great stories about King Rafe in our travels, and yes, news does travel very slowly, apparently. And we were hoping he would have knowledge to help us with a particular problem. And I'm not sure. Maybe it's possible that that's knowledge that was passed down through his family. Would we be able to seek an audience with King... What'd you say, Brian? Artosis.
He's a StarCraft caster. He'd be a good king.
The guard nods at you and says, "I don't think that would be a problem. King Artosis has been known to our people to be extremely generous and wise, and we are sure that he would see you." But he stops for a second and looks at the sky, and then looks back at you and says, "You are welcome to wait here if you want, or I can give you a brief tour of our city, but the king almost certainly will not see you until tomorrow." You look around and you realize the sun is getting ready to set now. It's taken you a couple of hours to get here.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm all for a tour if you guys are.
Sure, yeah. We would be ever so grateful to get a tour of your fair city.
Okay, do it. Hey, guys.
What?
Hey, not Brian. This guy's given us no reason to mistrust him, right? He seems straight, right?
He seems cool. Yeah, seems fine. Okay. I mean, okay. So does everyone in a horror movie who's going to lock us in a basement and eat us later, but whatever.
That is a good point. Hey, if they're going to eat us, they're going to start with my sword.
We'll be fine.
Okay, I was just, the reason I asked, I was going to see if I should extend any spiritual awareness or save that, because I'm not sure if I have a limit on that sort of thing. Hey, Brian, do you have a limit on that sort of thing?
Not really, because it's not an ability that costs mana.
It's just the thing that I have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do have spiritual awareness, and I think you actually got a bonus to it since you saw through the charlatan merfolk's, oh no, you didn't actually get a bonus to that, but, you do have it.
I have two, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well let me consult that and see if anything feels off in about this whole situation.
Okay. Roll a d6.
Six?
Yep.
I rolled a two. Bad at this game.
You do have a bonus of two, but you rolled a two and you have a
my score
a
is
bonus
two.
Of two. Right.
Yeah.
So your total score is four. You don't feel anything within this gentleman that would lead you to believe that they have anything of a malicious or untrustworthy nature. If anything, he seems extremely respectful and devout. So what cause, you're not entirely sure, but there's something that he's extremely devout to.
Excellent.
Locking people in basements and eating.
Hey, as long as he's doing it for the right reasons.
I feel a Resident Evil 4 theme coming on as a very devout.
See, I hope Mike just does this threat assessment in the game. I hope he's not walking around town going, "He seems nice. Do you think I'm is he gonna lock me in his basement?" Okay. So as you're speaking things over, you see, there seems to be some sort of glint or shimmering in the sky. You look up and you see the same figure that, was circling you before. The human soldier looks up, gives a salute, and the figure descends. As it comes down, you can see that it is a fairly decent sized Aven, also wearing armor. And as he lands, the soldier defers immediately to him, gives a slight bow, and informs what appears to be his commanding officer of you and what you're asking. The Aven gives a nod and tells the soldier they are welcome to come in. We'll put someone else on your post, but this gentleman is going to be your guide. So,
thank you. Gracias.
As you turn toward the door, the Aven gives a signal to someone you can't see, and the two doors open outward. And inside you can see that the wall is even thicker than you realize. It appears to be completely solid and is at least 12 feet thick. So this is a pretty darn serious here wall. And you see that on the other side of the wall is another set of wooden doors looking pretty identical to the one that just opened. And in the middle, directly between the two, is an iron portcullis, which is currently raised, but and you can see at the bottom of it are what looks to be some very sharp points. So don't go near that. At another signal, the doors on the other end open and you start to walk through the gate.
Wow. Serious defenses.
Oh yeah. As you walk through the other gate, you come out into what appears to be a slightly, well, it looks almost to be an open field, but as your eyes adjust to the lowering light, you can see that there is a castle in front of you, and then what appears to be a series of much smaller dwellings around. You compare this to the city of Edda with all its more modern structures. This is much less sophisticated, and almost all the buildings consist of stone and thatch roof cabins, or are stone thatch roof cabins. Think a bit medieval, so to speak. And you see a couple people wandering around. They all seem very polite to each other. You see some farms being tended off in the distance a little bit, and the castle rises up in front of you. Your guide points out that this is where you will be going tomorrow, but as the sun is setting and the king doesn't receive visitors at night, he takes you over to one of the only other stone structures, which is appears to be a small inn where they take you in and they give you some food and mead, and nobody gets drunk this time, and you all head to bed for the night. If you want to discuss anything with each other in your modest modest room.
Well, on our way to wherever we were going, I was interested in asking our guide. I was interested in asking
what are the massive defenses for?
Yeah, sure. This I don't think I've ever seen such a grand wall before, and such serious defenses. Is this area of Trivister really that dangerous, or is that something from dangers of old that have passed away?
The guard looks at you and seems to think about your question for a while, and then asks, actually turns around and asks you, have your travels here been safe?
Yes, couldn't be better.
With one small exception, Merfolk.
Well, yes, there was one brigand that tried to waylay us, but he wasn't too much of a problem.
The guard does seem a bit surprised at this and tells you that these areas are actually home to several different dangerous animals, some extremely large beasts, and some other lesser tribes. He mentions that some of the goblin tribes from the mountains in the northeast will occasionally work their way down, although they haven't seen them in several months now. But in direct answer to your question, he says that as long as he's ever known, the walls and the castle have been here. It is thought that they were built by King Rafe, or even someone that preceded him, but no one in the castle town is old enough to remember who built the wall. And you get the sense that these people are they seem polite to you, but there's a touch of xenophobia, and these people don't go out. So, much like other areas of Trivister, there doesn't seem to be much in the way of inner city travel.
I mean, it's not like we ran into any traders or anything on the way.
Good point.
Yeah. Or even any roads. Not even like there was
It's not like there was even a trading path.
Do you have any other questions for the guide or for anyone else? Again, you see some other townspeople around. I kind of rushed through that, but I will tell you, you see mostly humans. You do see a couple Aven, but there appears to be a bit of a different status between the humans, the Aven. The Aven appear to be more revered. They hold some of the more dignified positions that you don't see any out working the field, but you don't also sense any maliciousness or ill will between them.
Okay.
Avens, huh? That's pretty cool.
They're no angels, but.
That was going to be my sentence once these goobers, you know, bothered to respond. But since the magic voice in my head responded, yeah, they're not as cool as me. But still, it's pretty cool.
The magic voice inside your head also says, I love swords.
I love swords. What? Nothing. Just agreeing with nothing. Oh, well.
I think we're good.
I suppose, Mike. I mean, Steve. What is your name, boy?
Yeah, I suppose we're good. I mean, I guess we just have to hope that I forgot his name again. The new king.
Artosis?
Artosis, yes. That Artosis knows enough about his great-grandfather enough to, gosh, I don't know, point us in the direction of other planeswalkers who might be able to help us.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cue the Final Fantasy going to sleep music.
Do, 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 do.
And you wake up in the morning feeling fairly refreshed. You can tell they've let you sleep in a little bit, but the guard is waiting outside your room, ready to resume your path to go see King Artosis when you're ready. Do you want to do anything before you head out?
Go to the bathroom.
I suppose.
In the corner.
In the corner, of course, while looking the guard directly in the eye. I don't suppose
we Alaric see successfully. Wait, hold on. Alaric successfully goes to the bathroom in the corner.
Oh, Lord. We are mature. Damn it. I have a sword. So I'm guessing that the town or city or fortification or whatever of Tyr counts as its own land source.
It does. Mana source, but yes, land.
Yeah, that.
Self-sustaining.
Sure. So I suppose I'm at least gonna see if I can bond with this joint since I didn't manage to with Etta.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take it one at a time. Chewie, I need you to roll a
d12. Whoa. I really need to find a better place to roll these. Here we go. I rolled a 1.
All right. You have formed a bond with Tyr.
This is one of those things, like, on a scale of 1 to 12, you know, 8 being the highest, I give it a purple. That's how this scale works.
All right, the other two, because you do not control the planes, I need you to roll a 20.
Okay. I think we've been trying to get low for all these.
Get it
low. I mean, I hope so. I got a 7.
All right. Okay. Mike does. So I'm
word.
Karim does.
Okay. 14.
On a D12? How did you do that?
No, he said D20.
D20.
Okay.
Alaric does not. So Alaric, can tap for a white, and the turn that you summon it, you actually gain 2 toughness for the remainder of that encounter.
Okay, wait, say that again. I'm going to write that down.
You can tap it for a white, and when you call it for the remainder of that encounter until you leave whatever situation in which you had to call the mana, you have a +2 to your toughness.
Yeah, +0, +2.
+2 for remainder of, what'd you call it? The remainder of the what?
Encounter. Of the encounter.
Encounter. That's
a encounter. Good
word. That's the word I'm using right now for when you kind of enter a combat situation.
So, shut up, Mike.
So the angel and Kareem got it, and Alaric did not.
It's fun.
So, just as a quick count, I think you're all up to, well, the angel and
I've got 5.
Yeah, and so does Alaric, and Kareem actually
6.
Has 6 because he was able to form a bond at Etta and Tyr. So, even your lands. Okay.
Got my 4-color nonsense.
It's true.
If it was going to be anyone.
Kareem has mountains, forests, Etta, and Tyr. So, yeah. What's the Nephilim that's not black? Oh, it's the Ink Shredder. Ha!
Wait, really?
Yeah. Isn't it?
Because you can hit it with like a dark vanishing. So, all right. Guard kind of doesn't really get what you're doing, but he's not a magic user, so he just kind of waits. You know, much like he waited for Alaric to do his business. So, if you're ready, you go ahead and head out the door. And
I think we're ready.
Okay. You head through the rest of the settlement and start to approach the castle. As you get close to the castle, you notice that there is the traditional moat around the castle. There seems to be something a bit odd about it, though. You can't tell what, but there appears to be almost a shimmer or haze directly above the water as you get close to go over it.
Hmm.
Spiritual awareness.
Okay. Roll a d6.
My angel senses are tingling, and it's sexy. I rolled a 2.
Well, you don't sense anything particularly malevolent, but you can tell that there is some sort of mana being used in and around the moat to have some sort of effect.
Yeah. Hey guys, there's magic here over the moat.
Oh, interesting.
Like I can't make out what it is, but it's here. I don't know if it's good or bad. I just know that there's mana here or magic here. Just letting you know in case something terrible or awesome happens. I told you so.
Duly noted.
You're talking about this amongst yourselves?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The guard overhears you and says, "Oh, you know, don't worry about that. We use a series of enchantments and some ancient artifacts that are powered by our mages every now and then to actually heat the waters of the moat. This is done, there are no predators in the moat, but this is done first of all for protection, although we really rely mostly on our walls. But second of all, it allows us to heat the castle and its interior, and especially in the winter months, the cold air that comes off of the mountains can be very biting. So this is done, we just keep it basically going all the time."
That is amazing.
That is fascinating.
He says, "Well, thank you. We don't really know how to turn it off, but, you know, but it comes in handy." So as he gets close to the edge of the moat, he gives another signal and the drawbridge is lowered. As you take in the castle, you notice it's constructed mostly of some kind of dark greenish stone. It only looks to be about two stories tall, but you can tell just from the outside of it that it is much longer in a general rectangular shape than it is tall. So the inside of it appears to be fairly massive. As the drawbridge finishes lowering, you go ahead and start to cross it. As you walk over the moat, you do notice the change in temperature, but it's not enough to really injure you or make you too uncomfortable, but it is noticeable. So, and you proceed into the main hall of the castle, the foyer area, and he starts to lead you through the castle. As he's taking you through the castle, you note that, again, it is fairly large. It's filled with an assortment of rooms, but everywhere you go, you see either a human, a dwarven, or an Aven guard. This place is pretty well filled to the brim, with guards. There appears to be several apartments, at least two kitchens that you see, and it appears that he's heading you back toward the far end of the castle. Not necessarily the basement. But you're heading toward the rear end of the castle, so to speak. You're having trouble keeping track of some of the twists and turns that he's taking you through, but he assures you that the construction of the castle is just confusing.
I guess it's probably just another defensive choice.
Probably. Like a weaving path in a tower defense game. If they do manage to get through the giant wall and the magically heated moat, then it's going to take them a while to get to us and kill us and eat us. That sort of thing, right?
Right.
One of you should be looking at your messages.
Well, it's not me.
1, 2, 3, not it.
Spoilers. Thank goodness for silence truncation.
Yeah, and I apologize for that. This is, I'm going to try and be talking to everybody at once, but this is just a little difficult. He leads you through a few more doors. You don't notice anything terribly out of place. And then he comes to another large set of double doors. It's not nearly as large as the ones on the outside of the wall, but this appears to be fairly impressive. And these are definitely made out of some kind of metal, and they appear to be extremely heavy. The guard stops and says, "You know, this is as far as I can take you. There are two Aven guards directly outside the door. They'll let you know when you can go in. I will wait here to take you back out when you're done. No disrespect, sirs and ma'am, but once you've concluded your business with the king, unless he tells us that you're to stay, I am to escort you back outside of Tyr."
So, hey guys, starting to feel a little uncomfortable in this. Can we, like, I don't know if we can unsheathe our weapons, but can we go ahead and, I've got a buckler. I'm going to go ahead and pull up my buckler just to sort of, you know, in case something weird begins to happen. I'm feeling a little uncomfortable here.
Won't that look suspicious?
I don't know. I'm feeling a little, I'm feeling the heebie-jeebies.
So, I mean, when a monk gets the heebie-jeebies, that's probably the sort of thing you need to pay attention to.
Hey, yeah. Hey, by the way, you said the door is metal, right?
Yes.
What type of metal is it?
You can tell that it appears to be some alloy that's similar to some of the arrows that you bought back in Edda.
So I've got silver arrows, guys. It's iron and silver are mine, and
it's definitely it's definitely closer to silver than iron.
Okay.
So that's weird.
So we've got heavily fortified place, and then at the final bit of defense is silver doors. This does not bode well.
I'm just saying. I think, I don't know. I've got nothing on my end looks like anything of interest in terms of skills or anything for the situation, but I'm just saying.
So let me pull up some spiritual awareness again and see if I can find anything to corroborate their, Alaric's heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
Heebie-jeebies.
Okay, give me one second here. You're going to use your spiritual awareness. Where are you focusing it on? Because you need to have some kind of target.
Okay, wait a minute. Were these doors open or closed?
Closed.
Okay, I'm going to focus on the other side of the door.
The other
side?
Does
that sound good to you guys?
Sounds good.
See if there's anything causing heebie-jeebies behind the door?
What's behind door number one, heebie-jeebies?
All right, roll a d6.
Six. Huh. I rolled a one.
You roll a one? Okay, even with your bonus, you ultimately can't really, you don't sense anything particularly malevolent right now. You're not getting a sense from anything beyond the door, or I guess since the guards are directly in front of the door, they don't seem to be exuding any sort of alarm.
I'm sorry, my monkish friend. I am not able to pick anything up. I don't know if I'm just bad at this or if the silver in the door is interfering somehow. I'm not doubting you. I don't know.
Okay.
Hey, soldier boy, you got anything?
No, I'm really not picking up on whatever you guys are putting down here.
Oh, sorry. That's soldier boy. That's different.
Well, same with that. I'm not going to break everything out for an attack, but I feel that we need to just make sure we stay hyper aware of what's going on.
So you're not drawing your weapon. You're not drawing your weapons or anything like that. So
okay, so you're saying that I shouldn't whip my sword out, but I should keep a hand on the
be aware of our surroundings. So when we walk into this room or whatever happens when we leave this room, let's keep an eye on, make sure of our situation environment.
Okay.
Something weird is happening.
So
something weird is going on here.
So you approach the Aven guards. They look at each other. They look at the guide that's brought you there. They tell you, you are going in front of King Artosis. Show the utmost respect to our liege. And they slowly open the door. As they open the door, you start to get a sense of the room behind it. It's actually a fairly small, modest room lit with some torches. And it looks like the king is sitting on the throne. It looks like he's an Aven. He's dressed fairly plainly for a king, but he definitely has a crown of gold around his head. And he says, "Welcome to our realm, travelers. I am King Artosis. Please tell me what assistance I can give you." Around him, you see other guards, a few Aven, and some dwarves.
Whoa, dwarves. Wait, have we seen any other dwarves yet?
Here in the castle.
Right, okay.
We were winding our way through.
Okay, what do we tell
His Majesty. So, have we gotten to him yet? Or are we still walking through the room?
You're now, you have entered the room, but while it's not the largest throne room you've ever seen, there are several feet, I'd say probably about 20 feet between you and the king.
Okay. What's the status of the room?
Well, you know,
so we've been given a description. Are there any unnatural things that we're not used to seeing in this room?
Some of you might pick up
dwarves.
Some of you might notice some things than others. As I've given it, it's a general description. Uh-huh. It's lit by torches, but one or two of you might pick up on other things around the room. And to them, I've given a slightly more detailed explanation because of those are things that you notice. Whether or not you want to tell the others, that's what you notice.
Well, while we're walking up and everything, guys, you know what plane I'm from, right?
Yes. Innistrad, right?
I'm from Innistrad. I have experience with some very unnatural things, and I can tell you that silver is not something that's, you know, just sort of handed around.
You build a door out of.
Right. And I'm noticing something too. The walls have scratches on them, and those scratches are not, you don't scratch stone. And something else.
You might not scratch stone.
Depends
on what stone said to me.
Those, but there's something that I've always known about, and that's Avacyn. There's an Avacyn collar in the throne.
What?
Uh-huh.
King's kind of looking at you like.
Well, I mean, I guess that verifies that, old King Rafe may have come from another plane. Okay, so, good King Artosis.
Yes.
In our travels, we'd heard some very impressive stories about your forebearer, King Rafe, and that he came from a faraway land. We also come from very faraway lands, but are having trouble finding a way back home. We were hoping that we would meet King Rafe. Unfortunately, we didn't know that the stories we read were from a very long time ago. Mm-hmm. Hoping that he would be able to give us some advice. Now we're wondering if you, as his, you as his heir would be able
descendant.
As a descendant would have some of that knowledge of the faraway lands that, that King Rafe hailed from.
He had been starting to stand up. He seems to sit down in his chair a little heavily. And he looks a bit sad and he says, yes, it's true. My great grandfather was the great King Rafe. Everyone knew him to be generous and I strive every day to show the same generosity and wisdom that he showed to our people many years ago. But, he did pass away some time ago. I understand that one of his journals might have been I petitioned the library to have it returned, but, Aerodeth maintains that it's necessary for their collection. So we have yet to see it returned. Unfortunately, he hasn't been alive for some time now. He was a traveler, like you yourselves were, a traveler of this world and a traveler from other worlds. I'm afraid I cannot tell you why you can't leave exactly. I will tell you that many such travelers used to frequent our land, but we have not seen anyone like yourselves in some time, but I'm happy to try and share what knowledge my great grandfather might have passed down within reason, of course.
Sorry, I think I lost my connection for a little bit. I don't know if any one of you said anything after Brian was finished talking.
He went, he didn't say anything. So you did catch everything I said.
I did, I think so.
Okay, good.
You mentioned a journal, so have a look at the journal.
Okay, wait a minute, it's been a very long time, I apologize. Are we supposed to have this book, or did we sort of steal it?
If we tried to steal it, it would have returned itself to the library.
Bingo!
Right, that's what it was.
You looked at it. Mm-hmm. You read it.
Okay.
I don't recall which of you read it.
I think it was me.
I think it might have been, Alaric read it.
Yeah, I read the My First Planeswalk book, basically.
Yeah.
Little golden book of planeswalkers.
Yeah. You did. Don't forget that book. Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to tell you that. Forget that book.
You're not supposed to tell us that either.
The king is just kind of looking at you expectantly.
So how long has it been since the last time you saw travelers like us?
He seems to think about it for a while. He says, he saw a few in his youth, but it's probably been several years. He can't count exactly. He said the seasons have become slightly more erratic of late, and it's more difficult to tell when years start and when years stop.
If I offer a general description of the lady we passed in the library, does she seem familiar to him?
Yes, she does immediately. He says,
oh, really?
Yeah, he says her name is is Brian consults his notes. I just want to make sure I'm not saying I'm trying to make
her
sure
her name is Control F. Control F.
I'm not going to say it wrong. Like I said, the other one,
random NPC B.
Sire, SYR, and he is somewhat familiar with him because he is familiar with her because he says the last time that anyone had seen his great grandfather Rafe was going to go see someone named Donathier.
That was a book you read, Chewie, right?
And
was it?
And he traveled to the south.
Donathier invited Aristotta, the Merfolk Planeswalker from Mercadia, here.
He went to go see Donathier about some sort of problem, and at this, Aristotus looks very uncomfortable.
You mean Artosis?
Artosis, where I say.
Okay.
You
said the name of the Merfolk Planeswalker that I just said.
Yeah, and that's probably, Artosis seems very uncomfortable for a minute, when he mentions that Rafe went to go see him, about a problem. He went to go see him at some place, in the southwest. Southeast. Don't want to send you in the wrong way. Southeast. Some sort of tower or other,
or big ass tree looking thing, maybe.
not the tree. He says, he doesn't appreciate being interrupted even by an angel, but he says, I know.
I wasn't saying that out loud. Okay. I was making
all
a joke.
All right. All right. Well, he says, he went to go
remember
see
that excuse later
at a tower that was rumored to be Donathier's, I guess residence. And no one ever heard from him again. And then about a year ago now, Sire came to Tyr and offered a helmet that was unquestionably Rafe's. And said, I believe this belonged to your great-grandfather, wanted to return this to you, and then she left.
Did she say where she got it from?
No. And while he briefly considered having her detained, the thought seemed to leave his mind almost as quickly as it came, and she left unimpeded.
Uh-oh. I smell blue magic.
The king looks at Alaric and says, do you have any questions for me? You seem awfully quiet, traveler.
Where is your great-grandfather from? What plane?
He looks a bit uncomfortable at that as well. And he says, my great-grandfather went to many such worlds. I don't know the name of all of them. I can tell you that he was a brave man, well respected by all of our people, but his origins are lost to all of us. He seems to reflect, he almost reflexively curl and uncurl his talons as he speaks.
His what?
Talons. He's an Aven.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not going to be native to Innistrad.
Right? Artosis is an Aven.
Artosis is an Aven, yes.
Yeah, no, the only... Yeah, there aren't any humanoid birds on Innistrad.
Okay.
I didn't think so.
What's the... Well... What was Tyr like before the planeswalkers came here? Do you know of the history of Tyr? Where travelers were curious.
Artosis seems to consider this question and finds it a bit odd. He says, Well, as long as we've always known, Tyr has been Tyr. The buildings, the walls, these have been here since time immemorial. No one knows who built these walls or why. I've been told that it was my great-grandfather. From time to time, someone whispers that it might have been Donathir, the man they sometimes call the originator, that built these walls. But we're not sure how long the city has stood, so we don't know what it was like before or if it was here at all. King seems to start to get a bit impatient. He says, I appreciate you coming here all this way, and I am happy to answer any of the questions you may have, but I'm afraid I do have other duties that will require my attention. So may I ask if there's anything else you need?
Well, sir, I think what you told us about your grandfather was very informative, and I think our next stop should be Donathir's Tower and investigate if there's anything going on over there that could give us more insight to our current situation.
Then I will wish, yeah. Then I will wish you good luck. I will tell you that, as you know, travel on this world is very difficult. I have never heard of anyone going to the tower and returning, but I do wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, good sir.
At this point, he waves his hand for his attendants to take you out. Do you go with them peacefully?
Yeah. I don't really think we want to start a rumble.
You are a bit outnumbered, so.
Yeah.
Get your damn hands off of me. It's not good.
Yeah, I'm not that bored yet.
What is it? Get your damn hands off of me, you dirty bird. Yeah, let's not do any of that.
As you go out the doors and they start to pull the doors slowly behind you, you see the king settle back into his chair. You can't tell what the expression on his face is, but he seems exhausted by your exchange. As brief as it was.
To be fair, we have that effect on people.
Your guide.
God, finally they're gone.
Your guide from earlier is waiting out expectantly. He says, I was not able to go in with you. Not many people get to see the face of our beloved king. But he is beloved by all of his people. He is extremely generous and makes sure the lowest of serfs does not go for want. I hope that you found your time here productive, but I'm afraid that they will insist that we leave the premises as soon as possible. The king is very concerned with his time, especially as the days seem to grow shorter lately. And with that, he starts to lead you out.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, not much to say about that. They own the joint, or are squatting here, or something.
He leads you out of the castle without any incident. You get back out to the, you get back outside the castle, and he starts heading you toward the gate. And as he's walking, asks, "Will there be anything else that you need while you're here?" He seems to be implying your business is done here. You know. It's the opposite of the Hotel California.
Sort of like, hope to see you soon as they shove you out the door and slam the door in your face.
Right. Have fun storming the castle.
You've been a great help to us.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. And he preens a little bit at that.
Oh, is he an Aven too?
No.
People can preen.
People can preen. He's a human.
Oh. That's what I thought. That's why I was confused.
Well, I guess, okay. Aven are people too. Humans can train. Yeah.
Yes. And Aven would not be stuck with guiding you around.
Oh, a caste system.
Yeah. Guiding us around is the goon work. They give it to guys like
you
him.
You may notice that they don't fawn over you the way that they did some other places. Like, oh, planeswalkers. These people are pretty hardy. They're more concerned with, you know, getting their harvest and making sure they're staying alive for one day or the next. So he escorts you through the gates and outside the castle. He says, you are welcome to camp here for the night if you wish. It's about midday, slightly past midday at this point. But while you may stay here if you wish, it's relatively safety out, even directly outside of our walls. I wouldn't recommend going into the forest at night, but you are not permitted to re-enter the castle at night. And he states every single word very deliberately.
Hmm. Looks like we're camping, boys.
Should we camp here, or should we go out and find some of that danger people keep talking about and get murdered?
I mean, as much as I love danger, it is not my middle name, but it was considered.
Okay.
I get the feeling we should probably not go looking for it. I mean, honestly, if I am going to die in glorious combat, which if I'm going to die, that's how it's going to be, I would really rather it be somewhere where I want it to be rather than this backwater plain.
So when you die in glorious combat, it'll be somewhere else.
Yeah, somewhere where I am in glorious combat on purpose.
All right, understood.
Yeah.
You gonna hang out for the rest of the day in relative safety?
The rest of the day? I thought the sun was going down.
No, that was
when we got here.
Then we stayed the night.
Oh, wait, yeah, we woke up, didn't we?
Yes, yeah. You woke up.
I completely forgot that we spent the night here. You formed mana
bonds, yeah.
So wait, what time is it? Where are we at here?
You said it's about midday.
Yeah.
Let's oh, well. So then let's see. I don't know, what do you guys think? Should we get started and camp when it gets dark? For some reason I thought it was later.
Well, can you see the tower if you go up above the tree line? Like, do we
know? I don't know. Can you? Roll a d6.
I don't know. Let me go do that. You said a 6?
Yeah.
Huh. 2. Damn it.
So.
I'm really bad at this game.
You remember that
I've got flying 2. It's a 4. Shut up.
You remember that he said that it was in the southeast?
East, yes.
You can't see anything in that direction. You look slightly to the north and you start to see some of the mountain range that was described to you, but you do not, you don't see anything to the southeast. It's obviously not anywhere that you can tell.
Huh.
Close, anyway. Even by a loose definition of close.
Well, balls. So, I don't see anything. You guys, what do you guys think? Should we start booking it in that direction and camp when we need to? Or do we have a day of safety, or a night of safety, relative safety, and start fresh in the morning? I don't care either way.
We'll be there sooner if we go ahead and start, because we're going to more than likely have to camp anyway.
Oh, almost certainly, because I don't see anything in that direction.
Yeah, let's just get a move on.
All right, okay. One move on.
One move on being got. I have your exact location here. I just need to know whether you're moving due south, west, or trying to cut the corner a little bit and go southwest. Or east, east.
You're trying to trick us.
I've padded these directions, but depending on which direction
you pick, we move in the general direction of that way.
Depending on which way you pick determines what kind of environment you're moving into. So,
I guess there's another question do we want to just start heading aimlessly southeast and hope we hit a tower eventually? Or do we want to go check out the giant tree and see if that gets us any closer and or there's anything interesting to see?
Oh, hey, could I see that while I was up there?
What did you roll?
2.
Yeah, basically you can see what you saw of it before. Maybe it appears to be slightly closer than it was before. Last time you checked. Yeah, from where I noted where you saw it before and where you are now, you are definitely closer, but it's still a good little ways off.
Still far away. Okay, so what direction is that in?
That is due south.
Okay. Huh. So I'm trying to picture this in my mind. Hang on. So that's due south. And the tower is somewhere further away that way.
Where are the trees in every direction?
There are trees in just about every direction. Tier is directly to your north. You're right outside the wall. The mountain range is due east and slightly north, but more just due east. And the, Edda is directly to, your west, but to give you a frame of reference, it's far away enough that you can't really see it anymore. And the giant tree type structured thing is immediately south. Got it?
Close enough. So what do you guys think? Should we head directly in the direction that he pointed us, or do we want to detour slightly and see if that's a place that we can do something?
If the only thing we can see on the horizon is the tree, then that's at least a landmark to shoot for.
Yeah. Let's go check it out.
Okay. So you're heading south, is that correct?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're heading a little deeper back into the woods at this point. So, good old forest. You enter into what appears to be a boggy swamp area, and you look around, you don't see a whole lot, but think out of the corner of your eye over to the right a little bit, you might see a pair of skeletal snakes.
Are they sleeping?
I really hate it when that happens.
Hold on a second. Let's see if they're sleeping or not. No, they are not sleeping. And by what I've rolled... Jeez.
If they're skeletal, technically they are sleeping.
Okay. So here's how this is going to work. From what I've said, these are generally hostile creatures. They are... From what I can tell, you have caught them off guard. They have their attention. One of them is trying to corner a mouse, and the other one is kind of watching to see if it can steal the mouse, I guess. So each of you can take one action if you want to take an action. You can try and simply flee or keep moving in the direction, or you can engage them. But
oh, so these are like normal snake sized?
These are normal snake sized, yes. Oh, they're not like giant snakes. They are skeletal snakes, though.
Well, I mean, if they're just snakes and they're not aggressive, I don't really see a reason to harass them. And this is coming from the bloodthirsty
angel. Yeah, I was about to say, are they in the way?
They are a little bit off to the right. You are in a swamp area. They are not in the water. They're in one of the few dry patches of land. You can try and go around them if you want, but it would probably take longer to go around them than to go through them, basically.
Maybe they'll run away if we get too close. Well, I can... They're undead, so that means I can hit them with the silver arrows.
Oh. Is that how that works? Neat.
Yeah. Well, no, silver works on werewolves, but I'm pretty sure doesn't the silver work on undead, too?
You're asking me?
We can find out.
Well, okay.
I'm not going to answer a question directly like that. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to try and hit the snake that is sort of waiting to see what's going to happen. I'm going to shoot at it with the silver arrows.
Okay, you're going to shoot at it with the silver arrow. You've got a bow here. You've got a...
I got 15 silver arrows.
Yeah, 15, and you've got a werehunter bow. Ooh, yeah. Are you guys just waiting to see what happens? You're gonna wait to see what happens before you take your action?
I'm gonna wait to see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I screw up, you guys will be like,
do we have any popcorn that I can munch?
Okay. All right, Dirk.
I'll hold my buckler and watch this.
First thing I'm going to need you to do is, so you're using a werehunter bow, you're going to target the snake. You've got a pretty clear line of sight, so let's go ahead and roll a d20.
D20.
Yes, please. All
right, and in addition to that, I have ranged weapon 1.
You do.
Okay.
And you have currently a power of 2, so okay, go ahead.
4.
4.
Dang it, man.
Hold on one second. Kind of thought you have this in the bag, so give me just a second. Okay, luckily the snake.
Well, I kind of got stopped by the bag, but it's the number that rolled up. So when it stopped.
Luckily, in a strange twist of fate, the snake actually jerked so that it was in the path of your arrow. So you do it. You get a clean shot through its head, and it pretty much just dissolves on the spot. Your silver arrow definitely did the trick.
Okay.
But you started to catch the attention of the other snake. The snake is kind of alert now and has kind of let the prey that it was looking at go. Do you other guys want to take another quick action before it recognizes what's going on.
Hey guys, we saved that vermin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of us. So I guess before that one starts paying attention, one of us should take a shot at it. Who you want it, or should I take it?
I'm still expecting a snake to run away after we startled it, so whatever. Do what you want.
Okay, well, I mean, I am a bloodthirsty angel, and I haven't gotten to smash anything with my new sword, so.
It's true, you haven't, so.
Am I close enough to be able to take a swipe at it?
That's a good question, since you are pretty far away, and you're the only one without anything you can throw or shoot, since, Kareem is just kind of sitting back there.
He's like, oh, this is going to be funny.
But you are an angel, so you can move a little faster than the others. So, since it's a little ways away, do me a favor and roll a d10.
Just for the record, Kareem, if this thing becomes alert and grows to massive size, I will not forgive you.
I would expect you and the sword are going to have a discussion.
You and I are going to talk later.
You're going to eat the sword first?
You said a 10. Yeah. I rolled. I threw it on the ground. I rolled a 3. But I do have heavy weapons of something or other.
Well, this is to make sure that you can get over there fast enough.
Oh, okay.
And I'll apply your flying bonus. So
woohoo!
You get there.
I'm like Mercy in Overwatch.
You get there basically at the same time that it's turning around. So now go ahead and roll a d20. You're taking a swing at
20,
it.
20. Yeah. Taking a swing at it with a claymore. That's an 18.
Holy crap. Okay. You bring it down on its head, and from what I can tell from my roll, it's like you brought it down, and then you like brought your slash back up again just to make sure, and then you might have carved it into little pieces. it's dead. It was already dead because it was a skeleton, but it's now officially like the
deceased.
Yeah.
It's all the way dead.
It is all the way dead. So congratulations. You and Alaric did all the hard work, and you have saved, a little rat thing, which by the way doesn't care, but you know, good job.
And, as a side note, I'm going to go and pick up my silver arrow.
Okay.
That way I'm not losing one.
Well, that's allowed because you had such a clean shot, and because it actually went through an undead being, there's no blood or gore or anything on it. It's just poof. So. A little bit of bone fragment. And clean it up, good as new. Throw it in the dishwasher, it'll be fine. So, good job, everybody. Victory, fanfare, and all that good stuff.
Whoa, do we get like a first strike XP bonus? Wait, that's no. Well, this is an RPG. Wait a minute.
Yeah, technically we got that bonus, didn't we?
Yeah, hell yeah.
You want to loot around to see if there's anything left?
Yeah, let's see how many gold coins those snakes swallowed.
this skeletal snake was carrying a piece of ruby.
Well, as far as you can tell, I mean, you know, again, I'm silly, but I'm not that silly. You can't tell. It doesn't look like they had any currency on them. However, it looks like they had, nothing. Never mind. It was worth checking. There might have been a little bit of skeleton that was left, but after the job that you two did on them, there's not even really fragments left. So
we are awesome.
You are overkill. One of you.
Same.
Yeah, I just barely hit it. You're like.
One of you melted.
Well, I got jealous because yours dissolved as soon as it got
hit. One of you melted the face off of Merfolk, and the other two of you go and do this. So, that's great. So you look around, you're basically in the swamp. It really stinks. It's a swamp. And you took long enough with this that it's definitely going on nighttime now. So, do you want to move out of here, or do you want to set up camp in the swamp for the night? You don't sense any other nearby threats.
I don't know about you guys. I really don't want to camp in a swamp if I don't have to.
I agree. Swamps are kind of not good places to sleep.
But I could get Wooburg when I wake up.
Yeah. No one cares about your weird rainbow fed. I would really rather not sleep with muck, with my wings in the muck if I can help it.
All right, fine.
Nobody cares about your boomer.
Stuck in the muck.
So I guess we're going to go ahead and progress on.
Yeah, we'll move south and hope to get out of this.
All right, give me one quick second, guys. BRB. I know you got to wait for me, but give me just one second.
Okay.
Hey, did you guys see how I used my sword to smash that that snake? It was pretty sweet, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, it was fun the first and second time you talked about it, but it's been 15 times now.
But it was awesome. I've christened my new sword. I will name it my sword. Ah, oh, that's a good name.
Mm-hmm.
So, how you guys doing?
Doing not talking about my sword.
You don't have a... Wait, do you have a sword?
Okay, I'm back. I
can remember what you so got.
This is an instance of real-life stuff. Everybody's okay, but I'm going to have to go ahead and go. And I know you don't want to get stuck in the muck, but this is where we'll pick it up next time. So if that's okay with you guys, is that all right?
Okay. I mean, if you've got a bounce, then...
It's not an emergency, but...
But it's...
It's bad enough for you to say, hey, guys, I got to go. So it's probably enough. Yeah.
And we have been going for almost 2 hours now. So
any last minute, final thought?
Hope you guys are still enjoying this. I hope it was relatively clear what was going on and what choices you could make and couldn't make. You definitely made some I was not expecting this time. But that's good. That's the whole point. So I hope you're still enjoying this is the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really truly hope is that there's somebody listening that goes, no, you should have done this or should have done that or whatever, because that's kind of the point too. So I had some other final thoughts, but they can wait for another time. Hope everybody out there that's listening is doing really well. Real quick, any of you guys play Secret of Mana growing up?
Yep. A few times.
Nice.
A little bit. Mostly watch Scott do it.
Brave Exvius is doing an event starting tomorrow where you can actually pull some of the characters from that game. So, nice.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, and that's all I got for you guys. You have a great night and I guess a great week, and I will talk to you again soon. And for all the listeners, let me know what you liked and didn't like about this installment. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. All right, well, that's oddly abrupt, but... We are the sort of podcast that
real life does
doesn't
happen.
Put on airs. Yeah, we don't put on airs about that sort of thing. We are who we are, and that's why you guys love us. We're very real.
Mm-hmm.
So how about the rest of you for final thoughts and stuff?
I'm enjoying the RPG. I think we started off, we didn't really kind of know what we were doing and everything. I think we're starting to get into the swing. I think, especially with Brian sending us little secret messages of, hey, here's something weird going on. Here's what you're seeing.
Secret messages.
I didn't either. It was just you, Dirk.
Well, I know, but I think that was a great
part. Well, then why did he say two of you start notice things?
It was me and him, you know. We sent messages to each other. So it was the two of us.
Yeah.
You guys didn't get the message? So
you ever hate Dirk?
All the time. but the thing I do like that's sort of a thought in it, because that it potentially in the future plays into, you know, this has a little bit to do with Innistrad and some of the weird stuff of that. Well, whatever planes you guys are from, it's potential that if it sort of goes into that, you go, hey, wait a second. From my plane, this is sort of something that's going on, and so you can drag that into the story and play it out how you want. Like, I played mine of, I'm super suspicious in Tyr.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in that story was like, so where are you from? So, what's that? So, and I know I could have played it up a little bit more, because I'm still curious as to why there's an Avacyn crown, present.
Yeah, right?
So I feel like I could have, looking back, you can just go, I should have played that up more. I should have been pressing more. I feel like I should have sent my, what is my stuff? The empathy or a negotiation.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Done a little bit of that too to see if you can pull more secrets out and stuff of that sort, but unfortunately, yeah. This is how, like, if you would really have gone through the situation, not when you look back and go, oh man, I should have done this. And it, we play it more like it is in real life, like how we would actually have played it.
Yeah. What's it called? It's a French thing. The spirit of the stairwell.
Yeah,
but I don't know how to say it in French. That's the other one. Yeah, where you think about all the things you should have said as you're going down the staircase to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope that my typing and everything wasn't annoying and everything, but I realized that instead of keeping paper copies around and everything, because unfortunately, it's sort of becoming a mess in here for me, that I thought, you know what? I'm just going to take all this stuff. I'm going to put it on Google Docs. And that way I've done all my character sheet stuff. I just moved it over. I just did a copy and paste it over. And I started compiling the quests we've done. So like travel to Inn.
That makes sense.
Travel to the town Tier. Rafe is dead. Great grandson, Artosis. Avon is king.
Flirt with Barwent.
Well, that's not my notes, but
Oh, you're all monkish and
yeah, pure. I could have put in that I kept you two from starting a bar brawl.
Don't finish that sentence.
I'll leave that out of my biography. But if you had been a bar brawl, you better believe it would have been in the biography.
Note to self, start a bar brawl so Dirk can put it in his memoirs. Alaric can put it in his memoirs. Got it.
And as we're going through, I'm jotting notes down too, because I've got that there are two books, The Originator and the book on Donathar, and sort of just adding notes to it as well and everything as we go. So, like I said, I do find the RPG. RPGs always seemed a little fun. I've only played Dungeons & Dragons once or twice, as in like had one or two little game day things where I did it, and I thought it was a lot of fun, but just nothing ever developed out of it. And Mike, you said you did some Dungeons & Dragons for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, for quite a while, and we had started it up again, some of us last year, but then Austin got a new job and he moved down to Charlotte, and we were going to try to do some stuff online, but we haven't tried to schedule another session yet since before he moved.
So the Dungeons and Dragons you guys did, was it the board game or was it the RPG where you guys had like the Dungeon Master's book and you actually did the character sheets and all that?
It was the second one. It was the tabletop pencil and paper RPG.
Okay. Is that run differently than the older version, the original version?
Well, I guess
the older version was there were no pieces. It was, here's this imagining world, let me walk you through it. And the tabletop is, all right, here's a totem that represents your character, and here's your dungeon so you can kind of see what the dungeon looks like.
Well, yeah, we do use figures and simply drawn maps to show what we're doing when we're in the middle of something. Yeah.
Okay.
But we usually only bring out the figures and the maps when we're either exploring a dungeony place or like in the middle of combat so we can see where everyone is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like there's a board game set up and you use these pieces to represent, it's mm-hmm. just,
and the characters,
it's there for visual aid essentially.
And the characters retain, like if you level up a character, you just pick the character back up and start a new adventure with that same character. So you retain all the equipment, the levels, the skills and all that.
As long as you can find the sheet the next time you go to play.
Okay. Look at that real world edition.
Okay.
Nice. Now, for any of you who want to see some actual Dungeons & Dragons being done live on a stream, Cap from the Lair of Lore, I can't even say podcast anymore, the Lair of Lore media empire, I guess, It's a magic podcast too, but, Lair of Lore, he's doing the 365-day streaming challenge. Mm. And one of those days, I think it's Saturday? Hang on, let me go check. Is a, live D&D. Come on, load. Yeah, the Dragon Souls D&D campaign, or they've renamed it the, no, it's Fridays, excuse me. They've named it the, was it the Ladies of Lore? Because Cap is the DM, and he's got, the actual players are, three ladies. So, I was like, get some marketing, man! Name it, like, Lair of Lore, the Ladies of D&D or something, and so they did. But yeah, they just started that last Friday, so they'll be continuing it, well, by the time you hear this, they'll be continuing it next Friday. Uh-huh. So yeah, he's got stuff scheduled for every day of the week, over on his stream, and it's auto-hosted on my stream, so if you just go to twitch.tv/themanapool, if he's streaming, it shows it there, and then you can click to go to his channel and follow and all that good stuff. Hey Cap, I gave you a plug, shut up. He hasn't asked me to do any of that, by the way. I'm just trying to help. Sorry, that was relevant to the conversation at hand, so I threw in the plug. My bad.
Didn't bother us. Well, that's cool. And you've never done any D&D stuff, have you, Chewy?
Who, me? No. I played the arcade beat-em-up Tower of Doom, and I was supposed to record some of the Chronicles of Mistar, or to Chronicle, whatever the damn second game is, with Rob from the Retro League, but I had two drives the day we were supposed to record. That was Tuesday when I didn't get back until freaking midnight.
Oh.
So now, and he works in, or with Flowers, so he is now slammed until March, essentially. Cause I don't know if you guys know this, but February is a big month for that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but that's it for me. I've never done any of the tabletop RPGing sort of thing. Cause to be honest, it never sounded like the sort of thing that I would be interested in. So I never looked into it. Although I am enjoying this.
Oh, good.
But it might be because it's very loose and by the seat of the pants and with you guys.
Yeah.
I think, like, something about the structure of how to do everything, and you have to roll a frickin'... Shut up. Do I hit it in the head or not? We'll roll these 6 dice, and I'll roll these 3 dice, and I'll tell you if you hit him in the head. You know, I mean, that's been simplified over the years.
But... Well, yeah, I mean, only a certain special type of nerd actually plays like that, but, yeah.
Thacko. You remember Thacko? I do, and I've still never played D&D. Actually, the official Wizards of the Coast Dungeons & Dragons Twitch channel has a regularly running D&D game. I have no idea when or where, but if you're interested in that sort of thing, you can track it down. I do know that Pro Jared, who is a YouTuber and streamer and whatnot that I watch, well, I watch his YouTube videos, is on it and has been for quite some time. And if you're at all interested in D&D at all, then the last 2 Decembers over on Pro Jared's YouTube channel, he's done a thing called D&D December, where he tells stories from his various D&D campaigns over the years and gives some how to be a better dungeon master. It's a video a video that I sent to Brian back when we first started this. And this year on his Let's Play channel, he spent the entire month of December playing old D&D video games, the kind of thing that would make Mike go, oh, that sort of thing. So, yeah. Apparently, it's just as nerdy as it always has been, but now that's more widely accepted. Sort of like magic. Yeah. Well, it's balls o'clock now at this point for you guys. I don't sleep, so it doesn't bother me, but, we should probably wrap it up.
Okay. Yeah.
So what do you guys, have anything else going on here that you want to talk about? Final thoughts and stuff?
I'll do make mine real quick and everything is that, when I do get to play, I've been playing Galactic Civilization and I've been playing the 3rd game in the series, And I realized the computer has definitely made my life way more difficult when I play the game. So typically you go, in terms of weapons, you have either lasers, ballistics, or missiles on your starships. Mm-hmm. In the past, when you figure out what your enemy is doing, you can run a different one, and then you have defenses against those three. And so you just figure out, okay, the enemy is using lasers, so I'm going to use shields, which counters lasers. And you just put all shields on all of your ships, and you're good to go. Well, in the third one, the AI sees, hey, I know what you just did, and they switch it up on you, and I didn't realize this until I had played the game and was like, why am I losing all the time? Like, they were constantly declaring war on me and then kicking my butt, and I couldn't figure out why. And then I made it real easy. I dumbed it down to beginner. It's like, I'm going to figure out how all this works. And sure enough, when one guy declared war on me, I was like, okay, he's doing ballistics. I'm going to do armor so I can do this, so I can do shields and lasers. Well, next thing I know, he's got shields. So he's countering me. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to do missiles then. And next thing I know, he's got anti-missile systems. So the AI is going, I see what you did there, and is kicking my butt because it's catching on faster than I am as to what it's doing. So the AI is kicking my butt. I have not been able to win a single game in this game, even with it turned down to easy, because I like building my ships and I like streamlining my ships and getting them out the door so I can go fight. And by the time I actually am getting a decent amount of ships out, they've countered what I've built. And it's rather annoying.
Those bastards.
I know. Why do they have to do, why do you guys have to learn? So.
Oh my God.
So that's my random thought for the day and everything. So I am going to head on to bed. You guys have a wonderful night.
Yes, dear listeners, our defense lawyer is not our moral compass, and the teacher is saying, why do people gotta learn?
Why does the AI have to learn? I could care less if the people learn. Why does the AI have to learn? Why does the computer have to learn? Did you know we stopped Skynet?
I was gonna say Skynet, dang it.
Didn't Arnie go back in time and stop Skynet from happening?
I don't know. I didn't watch the last movie because it was apparently terrible.
I think all of them after T2 were terrible.
Dirk's talking about real life. Arnie went back in time and stopped Skynet.
Yeah. Prepare to be governated.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
All right.
Night, Zerk. What the hell, man? Okay, then. What you got then there, Beardy Man?
I'd already related this story to you, Chewy, but this past weekend, I got to go out and do something really fun. I got to go out and do a room escape with some...
Oh, I thought you were going to tell them about the thing with the weasels and the hammer. Okay, yeah. No, that's cool.
That was boring. That was dumb.
And yeah.
No, someone I know from way back in college, she'd heard about room escape events before and it was really interesting. So she decided to get a group of people together around her birthday to go and do one. And we went to, Raleigh Room Escapes here in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's a great thing. You should check it out. You really should. and we did one that was called, Trapped in a Room with a Zombie. And, you know, it basically works like, you know, room escapes in real life got started to become a thing after the, you know, escape the room games, you know, the flash-based browser games had been popular for a really long time. And this one was done really well. The puzzles were very interesting. Unfortunately, we weren't able to escape the room in time. We just had a one-hour time limit to do it. And we were so close. We were so very close. But I didn't think the reason we failed was because, you know, the puzzles were just a bunch of BS that didn't make sense and took too long. It was because, you know, we legitimately just didn't figure some of them out in time. Yeah. But after, at the end of the session, the person who was basically the MC, who, you know, gives us the rundown of some of the rules before we go in and kind of, acts as a, you know, just keeps an eye on us when we're in there and kind of acts as a ref, you know, just to make sure we don't start breaking stuff or, you know, standing on things or whatnot. After it was over, and I guess this is part of the normal thing, they explained to us what was going on, and, you know, we were pretty much at the end. So there was only one puzzle where he had to explain the one thing we were missing about it. When we were all like, oh, okay, to finally get out. But
that's how they get
it. It was really cool. And the way the scenario was set up with the zombie in the room, made it a lot more interesting because the zombie's movement was limited by a chain, but every 5 minutes, you know, to mark time and to make it more interesting, the length of the chain would be increased by about a foot. So by the time you got to the last 5 or 10 minutes of the session, the zombie had could reach, you know, any corner of the room, which made for some stressful times. The zombie moved kind of slow, and if it grabbed you, you had to go into quarantine. And I messed up because for some reason I totally misunderstood the instructions that we were given in the beginning, and I thought there was some kind of time limit to when you got put in quarantine. So I was in a situation where the zombie was, you know, starting to bother someone who was doing something important, and I just kind of stood in front of them and got tagged by the zombie instead of trying to distract the zombie and lead the zombie to another part of the room. And I got put in quarantine thinking I would just be there, you know, 5 minutes, you know, maybe 10, but no, I was in there for the rest of the time and I felt really stupid.
Well, I mean, you know, you did get bitten by a zombie.
I did. You don't really get better from that.
Dummy.
So there was that. So I should have paid a little more attention to, the, to those details during the rundown of the rules. But yeah, I highly recommend it, especially this place. The people who were running it seemed to be, you know, really enthusiastic and into it, and they had set up a really good room. It was decorated really well. The puzzles were interesting. They were meaningful puzzles. They weren't a bunch of BS, like I said before. They're real puzzles. When I saw – they had some stats on the wall in the briefing room where it basically said, you know, there was only about a 25% success rate for the people who did that who did that scenario. So I was kind of worried, like, I don't know. But then, you know, being in the room, I could see it be, it was because they were just good puzzles that if you didn't make the right, mental breakthrough on too many of them in time, you were just going to run out of time. So, but yeah, it was good. A lot of fun.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sadly, you were eaten by a Gru. I mean, zombie.
Was. It was bad.
For the record, you failed me for the last time.
We were so close on that last one. Part of the reason we didn't get to it until the scenario was almost over is because, we had made this like false association between two different pieces of information in the room. And even past the point where it started to look like it didn't make sense anymore, we were still kind of like trying to force it like, no, come on. We're just not interpreting this right. But no, they didn't have anything to do with one another. And it turned out that last puzzle, that we finally hit on was the piece in between the two of those things. So we had jumped a step and we weren't getting anywhere because, you know, that clue didn't actually go with that other puzzle.
This is a problem with getting a bunch of smart people together.
Yeah. Problem. Yeah. You start seeing things that aren't there.
And then not letting go of. Oh Lord. All right then. Well, I guess that just leaves me. Oh man, since we didn't record last week, have I got something to tell you guys? So, over on the YouTube channel, I started playing the Resident Evil 7, teaser. It's called Beginning Hour. It's not a demo. It's not part of the full game, which has since come out, but it's related to it. And, it is vaguely terrifying.
When I was watching your first episode, you know, I was sitting here on the couch with my computer on my little lap desk. And, after only about maybe 5 minutes, maybe I got to 10 minutes, I don't know, but it wasn't very long before, instead of having the lap desk, you know, with the laptop sitting right in front of me, I had it sitting on the other end of the couch while I watched it from this end of the couch.
Mike noped the laptop over there.
Yeah.
But, I've only managed to do two episodes. I did one, where I had very little idea what was going on and, got scared. It's like an indie horror game that a AAA company, Capcom, got a hold of and made pretty. Like, the sound design is so terrifying. The premise of this is you wake up, the game starts and you wake up in a house, and all it says is, get out of the house. That's your goal. That's your task. And throughout this creaky old house, you hear the very distinct sounds of people walking around and moving things and whatnot in other parts of the house that you are currently not in. And yeah, there were two parts in the first video that actually scared me quite bad. The first one scared me so bad I couldn't make a noise. I just went, and like looked at the camera. The second one scared me so bad that I screamed very loud and blew out the mic there at that point. So yeah, that's fun. But if you enjoy seeing me afraid, which I keep hearing tales of people enjoying that, then you should totally check it out. I tried it again. I got spoilers. I got the bad ending. So I tried it again and didn't work so well.
You didn't get the good one.
I didn't get the good one. Apparently this teaser has three endings. The true ending is like virtually impossible to get, but I really want to get there without a guide. I would like to get the better ending, if at all possible. But, yeah, that's awesome. I've also finished on YouTube the, videos for Octodad Dadliest Catch that Mike and I did on stream. The game isn't done yet, but how much of it we played on stream is done. I've got to get Mike over here at some point in the future to actually finish that game so I can put the rest of those videos up on YouTube. But Octodad is one of those games where the controls are intentionally designed to be silly and awkward and frustrating, and we're playing it co-op, and it's some of the funniest stuff ever. During editing, I'm just sitting here just giggling my ass off. Also, speaking of giggling my ass off, during editing, I finally finished the first campaign of Left 4 Dead that myself and Bill and Scott, my old roommate, you guys know Scott, did. And it was the first time that any of the three of us had played Left 4 Dead, and that first campaign is now up, the whole thing, from the time that we start to the time that we get to the end and get to the chopper. I'm not going to tell you how many of us, if any of us, actually made it, but it was entertaining, especially when especially the second tank appears out of nowhere and starts jumping up and down on someone, and you get to hear us all panic. It's really funny. There are two more campaigns that were recorded that myself and Bill and Scott and Squanto did that I will start putting up soon. Also, oh my god, the last two tavern brawls for Brawling with Buddies have been brilliant. The one from 2 weeks ago, I played with Billy, who you'd know if you watch the YouTube channel. And it's a 47 and a half minute video, and fully, I think over half of that is the final of the brawls.
Well,
we
over half of the video.
Because the both of us put Yogg-Saron in our deck, and the way the brawl worked, you could essentially cast any number of Yogg-Sarons. And it just kept getting hilarious. I laughed so hard. I was hurting when we got done recording. I mean, I physically hurt. And even during editing, I was dying. So it's just Yogg-Saron after Yogg-Saron after Yogg-Saron. And when we both did it without knowing. So when Billy played the first one, I just went, huh. And then the last one, I actually live streamed because in order to get to do it properly, I had to play 9 games. And I wasn't going to do that and edit it down like I do normal ones. So I just live streamed it. And with Cap, you can actually watch my side on our YouTube channel, and you can watch Cap's side on his YouTube channel. And the link to that is in the description for that video, but it was us doing 9 battles with the 9 pre-made decks that they had, using adventure bosses. So it was really cool. Yeah. Oh, and I played a game called Happy Room, because after recording the second Resident Evil 7 game video, I was a walking like goosebump, and I was like, I need something to play to like cleanse my palate, such as it was. And so I came upon Happy Room, which is a game about finding new and creative ways to torture a dummy. And the more you torture the dummy, the more toys and implements of destruction you unlock that you can use to torture the dummy more. So, hey, sweet. And people are really enjoying that. I think you're all sick, sick bastards, but it's cool. I am too. So yeah, that's what's been going on the YouTube channel. There hasn't been much going up this week because I've actually been driving a lot this week. So it sucks for content creation, but it's good for, you know, paying bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. And of course, there'll be more Resident Evil 7 teaser, more Happy Room, more Rogue Legacy, more Shovel Knight, more, did I say Rogue Legacy? I did. More Cluster Truck. I gotta record.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I've got all more Golf with Your Friends with Billy and Jacob. I've got all kinds of stuff already recorded and waiting to be edited or that I desperately want to record and get up. So, as soon as I can get a few days in a row where I don't drive all day and night, then I'll get on that. It'll be awesome. Yay! And of course, that's on youtube.com/c/themanipool, which is a nice little segue. Everywhere that you want to find us, we are The Manipool. Twitter, @TheManipool, facebook.com/TheManipool, twitch.tv/TheManipool, where I stream, well, I should have streamed Tuesday night, Overwatch this week, but I had to drive. And so yeah. Is that everywhere? Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, TheManipool.com, of course, is where all the podcasts are. If you want to send us an email, it's dorks@TheManipool.com. There's a Manipool Steam group that, Ben, one of our longest lasting listeners, made up forever ago. He recently gave me admin access so that I could revamp it. It's got, new links and the new logo, you know, the white on black instead of the old black on white. And yeah, if you guys want to find people to play games with or people to hang out with or stuff like that, then by all means, go check out, and you're on Steam, of course, then go check out the Steam group, however you find it, it's /TheManipool. Duh. At least I think it is. it occurs to me that it might not be. Let me go check. Groups. Click on this. I don't actually know how you find it. I have to visit admin page, that's what it is. Oh no, it's actually TMP is the abbreviation. Oh, no, here is steamcommunity.com/groups/TheManipool. I'll add that to our bevy of links down in the show notes for every episode.
Good idea.
Not every episode, but from now going forward. So, yeah, just it's a place to go and find people to play games on Steam with. I really want to get a Discord server all set up. I mean, I have a Manipool Discord server. I just don't know what to do with it and how to handle all the admin or what its purpose would be. I don't know. So if you guys know anything about how other people or groups or shows or entertainers or content creators have their Discord server set up, let me know, because I don't know how any of that works. At the moment, we have a Manipool Discord server that is there for when we record, like, Rocket League or, you know, when we were recording World of Warcraft, God help me. It was easier for everyone to just connect there instead of having to set up the individual call like we do for recording this show. So yeah, hell yeah. Anyway, that's all the stuff that's going on there and all of that. Yay. So if, I did the email already. If you would like to help support what I do with all of this insane amount of content creation, virtually all by my lonesome, then go check out the Patreon. It's patreon.com/, you guessed it, The Manipool, where every little bit helps, and I really do appreciate it. You can get Manipool episodes and YouTube videos early. You can get, not only that, but you get them emailed directly to you, so you don't have to hunt them down or pay close attention to the Twitter or anything like that. It's just, hey, look, Chewy posted a new thing, here you go. You can, and you get them early if you hit that tier. And you can, if you so choose, get access to the odds and ends, which is the uncensored, unfiltered nonsense that we record before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Mana Pool, where we swear a lot and explain why we're late and and talk about all of the things that just don't make it onto the show. Like back in the day, I would tell the listeners about, you know, my romantic exploits and how I met new girl A or B or whatever, because clearly I'm a playa, right? Let me just look at me. Shut up. But now that's moved to the odds and ends, all of that sort of thing. So yay. And of course, if you are feeling extra generous, you can get your name on the end slate for all the videos that are produced in the month, for each month that you support at that level. I have to redo the end slate something fierce, because I think the number of people on that went up, like, a fair amount in the last couple months, so that's awesome. Hey, it's Groundhog Day! Mike, if you wake up in the morning and you're reliving today over again, would that be cool, or would that be terrible?
That would be slightly obnoxious.
Okay. I wouldn't mind doing it again, because I could actually get more work done today if I... Originally, I got a message that was like, hey, I'm gonna need you to do this drive around noon. I was like, okay. So I didn't start anything because I didn't want to have to stop it at like 11:30 and go do it. So I just hung out. And then later it was, oh, it's actually gonna be closer to 2. Okay, fine. So I ate lunch and now, well, I don't want to start like recording something because what if it's early? Fine. Then later it turns out, oh, it's actually gonna be closer to 4. Dude! Then it didn't, it was actually be at the place at 5:15.
Jeez.
So I spent a whole day not getting started because I didn't want to have to stop in the middle when I could have actually gotten a lot done today and just stopped to go do the drive. And I hate that. And I yelled at the salesman and we're good now. Mm-hmm. So for anyone still listening, if you had to relive February 2nd this year, you know, the one that just happened, would that be good? That'd be all right, or would that be just the worst thing ever? Leave us a comment, or an email, or a tweet, Facebook thing, whatever. Yay. So with that, I'm going to shut up now, because this short RPG episode is actually really long. Yeah. And also, of course, let us know what you think of the MTG RPG. This one seemed, probably because it's been so long, it seemed to kind of take a while to get going, and not much terribly happened. But I think it was a more entertaining nothing happened, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, we just had trouble remembering anything.
Yeah, I think if we can not end up putting it off for however many months, then that would be better.
Yeah.
And I know a bunch of you would really appreciate that. I know, because you tell me that constantly. I'm talking specifically to one Ryan Closter. You remember Ryan and his family? Ryan has been tweeting at me on a semi-regular basis, when you're going to do more RPG. Several others of you have as well, but his is the last one I got. So, and it was actually when I said, hey, sorry, you guys, we're not going to do 450 this week, but don't worry, it'll be worth it when we do it next week. And he's like, so when are you going to do more RPG, man? Funny, you should mention that. Also, by the way, I have become addicted to Overwatch to the point where I have a crew now. It's myself and Bill, you know, Squee from Monday Night Magic, and Cap plays with us. We call him Cap, by the way, because his actual name is Steven Rogers. So he is Cap. And then Patrick and Joey, two listeners, viewers, fans, whatever the proper word is. I don't like the word fan for some reason when it applies to me. Like, we have fans. That sounds weird. Like, listeners and viewers, that's fine because that's just the thing. But fan implies things that don't stick right in my head. But anyway, yeah, the five of us are essentially, like, right now, Bill is playing Overwatch. And so is Gothic. That's Patrick. And so is Joey. So I'm pretty sure they're probably all playing together. And I'm like, I really wish I'd have to put a stupid episode together so I could play Overwatch. Like, it's bad. Robert, Dr. Mario, Mike.
Oh, okay.
Robert also plays with us, although he's not on the Discord group. I need to see if he's got Discord. Then we can have a full team and we could really suck. Yay. But anyway, so
and then you could get mad at people you know instead of just randos.
Which I do as well, too. It's like, why did I just die on the point by myself? Well, I'm there now. I didn't do any good 5 seconds ago, did it? And, you know, Bill has that, like, semi-passive-aggressive tone sometimes. He's like, well, if you guys aren't going to push, I guess I'll just die. I'm like, I was already dead. I couldn't help. It's like, I was busy getting blown up. And I didn't know you were pushing. Like, it's really fun. And that, there's an event going on last week, this week, and next week, which is why, instead of streaming Hearthstone, I've been streaming Overwatch on the rare occasion that I do stream. So hopefully I can do some more of that. But Overwatch streams, warning, are not family friendly. Even me, I swear up a storm playing Overwatch. Just so you know. Anyway, I'm gonna shut up now. So. Yeah, this has been the Manipool episode 450. I hope you guys enjoyed our all too brief return to Trivister for the Brian's Magic RPG. And yeah, I hope we'll be able to get back there relatively shortly. That would be awesome.
Wouldn't of course it would.
Yeah, because I got my dice back and everything. A friend had borrowed the dice and I was like, I'm going to need those back because we're supposed to RPG soon, and then we didn't, and which is good, because I didn't get the damn dice back, and then I got the dice back, and then we didn't record. Oh. Like, damn it. story of my life. It's because Mike's job hates him sometimes. Doesn't hate Mike, hates the show. It's like, you know, the podcast, yeah. Screw that podcast. So, yeah. Thank you all so very much for listening, and I have a sword. I mean, go play some Magic.